Accession number 9535, reel 9.
Mr. George Cole, Reel 9. Is there anything outstanding you remember from that time while you were at Harris?
Well, there were different things. But one thing in particular that says I remember, I says, we'd been on wire cutting, that's cutting Johnny's barbed wire for a bit, say, and anyway, I got a call through from headquarters. I want the major, eh? So, of course, and I've got the major on, and you hear the major signal time. That was a customary thing, see, get the watches dead on time together, see, and that went on for a day there, see. Well, we never thought of it. Anyway, one night, be about 8 o'clock at night, we're sitting, some of the lads was playing cards and talking, and I got a buzz from the officer, see. Well, the normal then, you just put your hand up and shout, hey, quiet. Hey. And so in the quiet, and yes, sir. He says, is Sergeant Browell there? Yes, sir. Sergeant is the major, see? So I handed the hair answered to Sergeant Browell. And of course, I had the hairpiece stopped on me here. Yes, sir. He says, is Cole there? Yes, he says, Cole's on duty, sir. Right, he says, I want him here immediately, see? He says, well, he's on, he says, never mind about being on duty. He says, I want Cole here now. Very good, sir. So, of course, I was going to take my earpiece off then, I knew. So he put somebody on to relieve me. So I put my tin hat on and gas mask. I went over the officer's place. And then, Major, yes, come in, Cole. And there was Major Shale, there was Captain Sutter, Mr. Green and Mr. Richardson. That was the lieutenant. And another one called Aby. I believe it was Aby. Sat there, see. And he said, I've got a job for you, Cole. I said, yes, sir. And he handed me this envelope. The horse say, 9th Durham's. And on the front, secret. Well, I got a bit of a start. And he says, you know where the 9th Durham's are? I said, yes, sir. Colonel Bradford's Durham's. That's right. Now he says, listen, you deliver that at once, but on no account am that to anyone else to deliver to Colonel Bradford. He says, understand, that's an order. You must give that person to Colonel Bradford. Very good, sir. And I know. So off I went. He went away down from the chateau, down the little valley, and there's a beck, little brook, jumped that, up the other side, and there was a road, made a farm road, run parallel with a trench, you see. And the opposite side of that road is where the communication trench started. So he gets in the communication trench, now this hammer rope is getting dark then, of course he's chucking one or two boats, eh? So start plodding on. So the car, the trench, Agrut, because Harlem had a different name, the different trenches. Anyway, I guess plodding on so Agrut, that was no trouble at all, like saying there. When I got the top of Agrut, way on the left was the road to our old people, observation port. And then it turned right, Agrut Loop. So I went along Agrut Loop and go along there. Well, I'm on my metal end, see. It was dark, see. So all of a sudden, I hear the order, halt, who goes there? Then went through the ring below, explained who it was, a message for the Colonel Bradford, so he passed us, see. No, he says, you'll pass till they more mine. I says, right, oh, mate. So two or three more, the same went on, and at the last one, Hot Wars there again, and saying, well, of course you're used to that. Tell him this message. He says, right away, says, I'll send. No, I says, I have to deliver this personally. So I give a shout, and another chap come out, see, and one of his mates, we're going to talk to him. I says, no, I says, I'm not giving you the message. I must deliver. So I got a captain out. I don't know what his name was. He says, what's the matter, Gunnar? Because everybody in the artillery was called Gunnar, see. When they were talking, see. I says, I've got a message for the colonel, sir. He says, tell you. He says, I do. He says, I deliver. I says, excuse me, sir. My last order from Major Shane that I must deliver this personally, not to anyone else. So I'm sorry, sir, I cannot give you it. Right, he said, come on. So he took us to the dugout, and I remember seeing Colonel Bradford sitting opposite, and of course I knew him, I said, a message from Major Sale, sir. So I handed it over. Right, old Gunnar. So he tore it open and looked at it, and he handed it to another officer. I says, any reply, sir? Oh, no, no. He says, sir, quite all right, Gunnar. No reply. I said, so I saluted him, and I said, I went back. And of course, the same procedure with a sentry, say. And anyway, one of them, he says, where do you belong, mate? I said, same harbour. Oh, he says, I belong Gateshead. I said, do you know where White Hart Road schools are? He said, I wish the hell I was there now, he says. He said, I used to go to that school when I was a kid. So anyway, when a bit patter, and then away I went, and I reported back. And right, O'Call, he says, very good. He says, of course, they would wire back to save the message, see? But they wouldn't dare transmit what was in it, see?
Did you have any idea what was in the message?
I hadn't a clue. All I knew was marked secret, see? Yes, and then on big letters, red letters, secret, see?
Did you ever find out or guess what it might have been?
I found out later.
Okay, well.
So, anyway, he says, right, O'Call, he says, very good. He says, you haven't been very long? I says, oh, no. I says, so I went back. He says, that's your night's duty call. He says, tell Sergeant Brower. Oh, I says, that's all right, sir. So, anyway, the next day, Brower, Sergeant Brower, he says, you have to be ready after dinner. He says, Captain Sutter wants you. I says, right on. So, about 1:30, something like that, Captain Sutter sent for us, and I went over. He says, come on, Cole. He says, I'm going back up to see Colonel Bradford. I says, right. But before that, when they come back, they were all quizzing what I've been doing, and that's that, I see. I said, I didn't know I'd been taking a message up there. I said, it's very important. I said, the marked secret, big letters, I says, and I says, I didn't get to limit nothing to tell them all what I've told you, see. So he says, we sat talking, surmising, and this, that, other. So I just on the spur of the moment, I says, hey, what day is the date? What's the date? Look the phone. 14th of September, the date. Ah, I said, I've got it. He says, you've what? I said, I've got it. He says, you've got what? Tomorrow, 15th of September, was the day the tanks went out on the Somme. And tomorrow, 15th, I bet the Somme going to be on tomorrow. I says, I bet they walked it out. This is what's going to happen tomorrow. Is the anniversary of the Somme deal, the tank deal. And anyway, it transpired this. Anyway, knew nothing when it would sort of. And we got to Colonel Bradford. He was outside talking to one or two staff officers. And of course, I just stood back out the road. And I remember him giving me a look. And as much as he recognised me as being the one that was up the night before, say, he maybe think I was the important man. anyway, they're a bit confabbed together, and anyway, Captain Sutter and me left. He said, we'll go to Opip Call. I said, right, sir. So I walked on to our observation post, and anyway, we sat talking anyway, about this and that, brother. And I noticed sort of kept looking at his watch, see? And I didn't know the time it was going to happen, see? And he looked and he says, not long now, Cole. I says, oh, he says. Then he kept looking, he says, any second now, see? And all of a sudden, hell let loose. Every gun opened out, see? And because they've all got that set on the gun. All those guns have been registered on his front line, some on his trenches, some on his supports, and so on, see? Everything's cut and dry, see?
Does that include your battery?
That's the old battery, see? And all other batteries that support them and all. There's other batteries besides those supporting them, see? And every gun opened out together. Oh, you can just imagine, 1 minute it was dead quiet, more or less dead quiet. And the next minute, maybe 100 guns opened out together. And hell let loose. So anyway, that was it. And then all of a sudden we saw the smoke that set fire to the straw. And that was to imitate a gas attack. And they pulled the dummy tank up. It had been laid flat. And the engine, the RA, is in the range. And that imitated the tank to give the impression it was another tank attack. See?
Was it bales of straw in the trenches?
The fire, it was between our trenches, our observation, just about 20 or 30 yards in front of our observation post. And we could see the straw burning, the smoke.
Had that straw been put there by the British?
Or it had been put there the night before, see, and the saturated oil and such like that, see. And the idea was to create the impression to the Germans that it was a gas attack, see. But all lads knew it was only straw, so they weren't frightened. They didn't want any gas mask on them, see? And away they went. There was hell let loose. And I remember we were watching, all could see through the smoke and catch a glimpse of all lads running forward, like, see? And there's a shell dropped just in front of our observation post. Boom! You bugger. Shook it. If it was another 2 yards range on, don't they ever hit us, see? And cleared away. And anyway, the raid went on there firing like hell, and anyway, the finish was over. Didn't last very long, see.
Well, did you see any more of what happened?
I saw them drifting back, like, see, and they had the way to our right from where we were.
Did the artillery carry on firing?
Oh, carried on firing, and Jerry's artillery opened out again, there, see.
What did the British artillery, did it drop back a bit? Because otherwise it...
No, what I say... Jerry, oh, artillery, and every time we say quiet, say things was normal, quiet, what do you call quiet? Every gun was laid on what they call SOS lines. All guns was trained on, each gun was trained on a certain spot in the trenches, loaded, a shell in. The only thing different was the safety catcher zone, see? And in the flick of an eye, you could press that and fire. Every gun laid along the line was, maybe you're going to, thing, everything is quiet, but every gun, artillery gun into action, was laid on a certain spot in the trenches.
But they wouldn't keep firing on the front line while the raid was going on, would they?
While the raid was going on, they were firing on his supports and his reserves, stopping getting men forward, say. Yes, they were still firing.
Was it an actual box barrage, or...?
No, just they were firing on a certain spot, say. But the old firing would be on Jerry's reserve trenches, and his support stopped getting reinforcements there.
Was that what they called a box barrage? Did you call it that?
Yeah. That was a box barrage on one spot, they said. And later on, they came back, and I remember something, because he says, well, he says, that's that. He says, God knows how they've gone on. We didn't know nothing, see. And apparently, they had about 8 men killed, the Denhams. Captain Bradford, Colonel Bradford was secure, like, see. And then at night, Captain Totter went back to the battery. He says, are you stopping there? I says, yes, I'm stopping there, sir. I says, I understand, I says what I'd heard, like that the eighth dirms was going over night again, and about 7 or 8 o'clock, the eighth dirms went over again, and they brought Ronan in and such like that, see. And I was there in the eighth dugout when the faces blackened, and the fisher fell in, the prisoner, a German prisoner, shoved him in. He went.
This was the second raid.
Second raid, see. And anyway, there. It was all over and done with, say. And either the next day or the day after, I was on the body, on the position, and the major was passing, and he shouted to me, "Call!" He used to be a coroner agent, and he grew a lovely old chap, I say. He said, "Call!" I said, "Yes, sir. Come here." He said, "I want you." See? I said, "Yes, sir." Well, he says, "How do you enjoy yourself?" He says, "It was an experience, sir." And I look, he gave me a look. He says, "You know, Cole," he says, "if you and me get back alive, if we get back alive, we'll live any time." He says, "What's been done today?" He says, "It'll be history." I thought, you know, darkness. He says, "This will be," he says, "what's happened yesterday?" He says, "It'll be put down as this part of history, see?" I says, "I don't know about history, see?" Little did I think that it would be. It is history, never, see? So he says, "If you're alive," he says, "you'll be able to see it. You took a little bit part in, see?" And that was the real thing. That's what I was on to Mr. Delamere.
How did you find out what had been in the envelope, or what did you get?
I never found out yet. Oh, yes. The major, he said to me, he says, "You know that?" He says, "You know that envelope you took up, Cole?" I says, "Yes, sir." He said, "You didn't know what was in?" I said, "No, sir." I says, "I knew there's something important in, but," I says, "I hadn't a clue, see?" And he says, "Well," he says, "I can tell you now." He says, "That was all the final arrangements between the artillery and the infantry for that raid, see?" So he says, "You can see it, you've to take part in it, see?" Oh, I said, "I didn't know it." Well, I didn't. I says, "I hadn't a clue to what was in, see, but," I said, "I knew it was something out of the ordinary, see?"
Did you know whether the raid had been a success at the time?
Yes, it was, the captured prisoners.
And you knew that at the time?
And then you knew it, yeah, see.
What else happened while you were at Arras?
Well, I don't think we were there very long. I went to the terrace. The back in the house, there's a message come through. And for the major, for the OC, they had to send a man to a course, signalling course, at the divisional signal school at Bolly's Hill. So we sent, took the message over to somebody who worked out with it. We always kept a copy of the message, and then the one went to the OC. So anyway, it happened that I was on duty at the time, and he rung up again. He says, "Is Sergeant Brown there?" I said, "Yes, sir." "Sergeant, there's the major I want to speak to you." He says, "You know this message about somebody going on the course?" He says, "Yes, sir." He says, "Who are we going to send for it?" He says, "Well," he says, "I don't know, sir." He says, "Out of send," he says, "because the fellows that came out from England as signalers, they'd been trained as signalers in England, see?" So he says, "Well," he says, "check up," he says, "and anybody who hasn't passed out as a signaler," he says, "and send him on the course, see?" So I start checking out. And I was the only man in the battery that hadn't been on the course. And he started laughing. He says, "Just a minute." So he rung the major up again, see? He says, "About this course, sir?" He says, "Yes." He says, "Have you found it?" "Yes." He says, "There's one man in the battery, sir, never been on the course, the signalling course, and had no training." He says, "Who is it?" He says, "I haven't dare tell you, sir." He says, "Who is it?" He says, "Gonna call And there's a bit of a pause. He says, what? He says, you've got a coat. He says, you don't know. He says, put them on. I said, yes, sir. He says, have you never? No, sir. I says, I've never been on a sailing course in my life. I said, I just took a fancy to it. When I first joined, I says, I was took up with in the butter and the morse and reading morse. And in fact, I says, I started learning to read morse while I was still a gunner. He says, oh, well, he says, right, oh, he says, put your name down. He says, you'll go to the course at Bonnie's Aim. Oh, I says, right, oh, sir. Oh, it's a month course, eh? It's a month convalescent. So he says, right, oh, he says, pack up, he says, and report, as they start to say. So anyway, I packed up, and away I went to Bonnie's Aim.
When was that? Would that be?
That was back end of September 1917. So I went to Bonnie's Aim to the course, start the course. I remember we were in Marquee Tents, and it was just shortly after I got there when the Passion Deal job started. Eh? Well, when I went to school, you had to start at the beginners, a new starter, see? Where you're learning this and that way, you knew it all, see? And I was just beginning to learn something fresh and, you know, something strange and that. When the Passion Deal job started. And then there's a message come from, because it was all, everybody there was in the 50th Division, see? Divisional school. You also read a list out. Private so-and-so, private so-and-so, so private so-and-so, corporal so-and-so. Righto, report back your unit at once, see? That was the Durhams and Northumberland Fusiliers and the Yorks, see? And one or two of the artillery, see? Report back to your unit. They were signaling the same as me, that, you know, and there were casualties among them, see? So it went on and on and on, and at the finish, then the list out, gonna call, here, right, back to your unit at once. See? So anyway, pack up. So I never finished the course.
While you were on the course, how did it match up, you know, the theoretical approach of the course, match up with what you'd learnt in the field?
I mean, well, you say that the starters as a beginner, and the learners, see, and they're learning this. Well, when you were down, see, but just let it go through it. And then they were explaining. Then they start explaining about the instrument, how it was made, when this, that way. That really didn't matter. It didn't matter to you, see. And I one particular, there used to be an hour on the morning, say, on the buzzer. An hour on flags, signal with flags, morse. Not semaphore, just the flag, see.
Was that new to you?
We never used semaphore. That was flag, with a flag.
But had you used flags before?
Oh, no, dozens of times. I used them in the storm dome. And I went with the flags, and now with the discs. It was like a Venetian blind business. And you used to pull it down, and the slats was like red or white, see? And when you used to pull it like that, they used to change colour, see? And it was only for short distances, see? Say about 30, 40 yards, eh? You could read them when you're back to them, see? And, anyway, and then you had to know us physical jerks. Eh? So there was a sergeant, old Sergeant Major, who was taking the physical jerks. And I remember one day, we were on the physical jerks stunt, and there was a water jump about 6 foot wide, maybe only foot deep in water, like I said. So it was starting being physical and jerks and all this other say. And then start running around and jump this 6 foot thing. Round and jump the water, jump, round, jump the water, jump. And at the finish, one would drop in, his foot drop in, say, fall out. Then another one drop in, fall out, say. Well, at that time I was as fit as a fiddle, you know. And I was running around, and I got it off and run around, slow on them, a bit spurt for the jump and over, see. at the finish, I was the last one left. I could have been jumping it. He says, either bloody well rolling or jumping, will you? And I thought, I'll see him in there the first thing. And anyway, at the finish, he says, follow, go on, follow. And so I fell out, I never jumped in the water, I never fell in the water. Cause I could jump then, at that time, I would only be 20 years old, you see. I'm fit as a fiddle, you know. And I didn't, I always say that, played as a good fiddle. I never drunk or never smoked, you know. I was in tip-top condition, see. And I never finished, so I report back to the battery.
Now, like when you had a misfire, there was a proper way of clearing the misfire, and the way you actually did it. Was the way you were taught any signalling? Was the proper way the same as the way you actually did it in the field? Was field practice the same as what you were taught in this course?
Has he got C1?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I would say you had to do it because you couldn't camouflage, except I'll go that case there. Except
we'll come to that later, yeah.
Except one time, I says, when I was signalling, and in a hurry, I says, normally, to send a figure O, I says, there's five dashes. But I says, I'll give us, and it was understood locally between old body and old man, they don't, others might do the same. Instead of sending five dashes, I just made one big sweep round like a whore. I says, and I said, they're in it. But that was understood between us. But except for that, I said, I can't think of any...
So the way you repaired lines, the way you transmitted, that was all according to theory?
Yeah, yes, I don't know.
What happened when you got back to your unit then, after the course?
Oh, after I finished the course...
When did you finish the course then?
Well, it was a time that I couldn't say exactly, but I said... Maybe it's about... I was supposed to be on a month's course, but I think I would only done about... just over a fortnight, say, and I had to go back, and I went back, and the wagon mines then was at Basingi on the Passchendaele front, and the battery was at Landmark. And anyway, I had to go up there, straight away, to Landmark. And I remember the first day I went up with them, I went so far with a wagon, then got off, and it was all walk. There's a dunkboard track, no more... Chuck right so up to the trenches, see. And I was on this duckboard truck leading up to the guns hole party, and I had a bag, and I remember I had a bag with the bread in, the day's ration of bread. And I slipped, and I went off into the hole, and they were laughing at me, and I cursed them in the face, because I said, oh, I doesn't move, because if I tried to save myself, I said the bread would go in the water. So I was sitting there in the water, holding the bread up to keep the bread dry. And I says, anyway, somebody had to come and take the bread out of us. Because everything, didn't matter what you knew, ammunition, rations, everything, water, all went, we carried like that, see. And our telephone, what they call a telephone dugout, was in a captured German pillbox.
Hang on, this duckboard, How deep was the mud and shell holes on either side?
Well, yeah, it was one massive shell holes. In fact, you would have a job